Today's topic is, can men and women be friends? It's very chill.
You're very chill?
Yeah. It's like a chill
day. Chill Sunday.
It's a chill Sunday.
Really?
Are you gonna start first?
Hello everyone and welcome to Misinformed Well Intended. I am Roberto Cajigas.
And I'm Elise Bach.
And welcome to episode 15.
15 comes after 14.
Yeah. 15 after 14. 15 does come after 14.
Can I flush the format, as they say, for a second?
Sure.
And start with a favorite that's not my favorite, but is definitely a favorite.
Go ahead.
Episode 14.
Oh, wait. So one of our episodes is your favorite?
Yes. Episode 14, the Valentine's Day episode.
Oh.
Is one of my favorites this week.
I like that.
And while we were going back and forth with the editing, a sane person would have jumped to the part we were talking about editing and how we edit it and whatever. No. Every time I would listen to the whole thing, I'd be like, oh, shoot, I guess I have to listen to it again.
So you listen to the entire 1 hour episode?
I think I've listened to it cumulatively about 6 times. And you sent it to me, I don't even know, like a couple of days ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So Valentine's Day was lovely because I was able to play the little snippet about my favorite being my husband.
Oh.
To okay. My husband.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which was fitting because I forgot to get him a Valentine's Day card, so. Why do a Valentine's Day card when you have a podcast?
Yeah, you can just.
They're so overrated, Valentine's Day cards. Just get a podcast.
Please listen.
And listen. But anyways, if you haven't listened to our Valentine's Day episode, episode 14, please go back after this one
and check
listen
it out.
And listen to
yeah,
that one.
Yeah. Feel the love.
Shall we get into today's topic?
Can men and women be friends?
Yes. And this comes about because I've heard it a million times from my male best friends in recent days about how I need more female friends in my life. And by more, they mean any female friends because I really, I have female friends that we can like have conversation with,
yeah.
But I don't have female friends that I'm like constantly texting or FaceTiming or going out and hanging out and doing stuff. And I mean, I have my sister, obviously.
Yeah, I was just about to say, because you have a sister, so doesn't that count?
So she's like my closest female person in my life. I just don't have female friends. And I was thinking about it, and I've always been that way. Even in like elementary, middle school, most of my friends were boys.
Yeah.
The very first best friend I could remember was a boy. His name was Harold. He was like the sweetest. And then growing up, I used to babysit for boys. I preferred babysitting for boys. And then obviously I only had boys as my children.
Yeah.
So it's like a running constant theme in my life. And then I remember me and my sister always wanting a brother. But by that time, it was like too late and my mother didn't want any more children.
So do you, it's not like you have boy tendencies or male tendencies where you're into sports or you're
into
roughhousing.
No, not at all. I am the girliest girl there is. I'm not a tomboy. I don't know. And even like so then the next thing after siblings is cousins. So I had growing up, it was our one male cousin who we were super close with, who was like our brother. And then he had a sister, so our other female cousin. And then my uncle had more boys later on in life. But growing up, I grew up with my one male cousin and my female cousin and this other cousin who's also a female. But I also was closer to him than to any of my other cousins. And I don't know. I find it easier to talk to men, I guess. I mean, that sounds so like the wrong way. And I'm not like into, like you said, I'm not into sports. I'm not into like cars or games or I don't know.
So is it your outlook on women and girls in general? Like,
I think so. I think it's my outlook on women tend to be very dramatic about things. It's like the drama and the jealousy and the, even though, you know, like, and I'm going to probably get shit for this, but if you have female friends, you might not voice the jealousy part of it, but there's always some type of measuring up. Like,
oh, underlying.
Yeah. Like,
look,
oh,
look at that bitch. Mm.
Yeah. Like, what you might voice it. Oh my God, you look so great.
Yeah.
But internally it's like, oh, do I look as good as you?
That's I think a self-judgment thing.
Yeah.
Where you're comparing yourself to what she has or...
Yes.
Or you're comparing her to you.
Yes.
Vice versa.
And you don't get that in male-female relationships where it's a friendship. Because guys just don't give a flip about what you're wearing or your makeup or whatever.
Okay.
But then... In my male friendships that I have now, I can talk to them about, oh, I got my nails done the other day. Do you like my nail color? Like, it's not that I don't say those things to them. But it also takes a specific kind of person to be like, oh, no, yeah, I noticed your nails. They look cute or whatever.
I see.
What is your take on male-female relationships or friendships?
So I think for me personally, right now in life, I probably don't have many friends really to begin with.
In general.
In general. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like over the years, the vast majority of my friends and family probably mm-hmm. have kind of dwindled down. Either they move mm-hmm. or you lose touch
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
due to life.
Well, they do say the bigger... Specifically your friendship circle, the bigger your friendship circle, the faker it is. Meaning, are they really your friends or are these just people that you can chit chat and have a conversation
yeah,
with?
Yeah. But I think even when, like for my friends years ago who were around, I had guy friends. I did have female friends. Mm-hmm. And for me, I tended to be the opposite of you, which would be, or similar, actually,
yeah.
Where we lean towards the opposite sex
yeah.
Via friendship. Because I did have a lot of friends that were females.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have male friends as mm-hmm. well. But it's a completely different mindset
yeah.
when you're hanging out with them. And it's almost like you're two different people. When
yeah,
you're
I
hanging,
can see that.
When you're
yeah.
hanging, like what you were saying about... When you were saying about hanging out with that judgment and mm-hmm, with women mm-hmm. and all of that other stuff, because you may not approach or say things or do things,
right?
If I'm hanging out with my female friends, then if I'm hanging out with my guy friends,
yeah,
I won't be as crude and crass and vulgar,
mm-hmm.
you know, with my female friends as I am with my male friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know why that would be the case.
And see, I feel like if my male friends, because my male friends are still the same way with me than they are with their male friends.
Yes.
So they are crude and they say whatever they want. Like, and I almost feel like if they weren't that way, then I'm not part of their group, I guess. Like if they were to like censor what they say around me, then are we really that close? Are we really friends?
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. But I think also, like, I did have one female friend years ago.
Yeah.
Her name's Kat. And if you're listening, I love you. Aww. You're like one of my faves. Miss you. I know we obviously haven't talked in like a billion years, but we're able to like see each other here and there on Facebook every now and then. But it was one of those relationships of like where we always hung out.
Mm-hmm.
We always hung out like every weekend.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a question of like, oh, what are you doing this weekend? Mm-hmm. Oh, what is like, what are we going to do
mm-hmm.
This weekend, or where are we going to go?
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those of just, we were always hanging out and chilling. And yeah. It was nothing relationship wise of us like where we would be more than friends.
Yeah.
That wasn't there.
That was going to be my next question.
A strict friendship.
Because that's the thing everybody says is, well, to backtrack just a second, the whole thing about like, so then one of the things I get said to is, well, don't you want a female friend you can be girly with? And I'm like, no, I can be girly with my male friends. I can't. And the other day, the bestie, he's going to hate it that I'm sharing this. He FaceTimes me. He's like, oh, I want to show you the new pants I got at the mall. And I'm like, okay, let's see the pants. So it's like, I can do all those girly things that you would typically do with a female friend.
Yeah.
I do them with my male friend. So it's not that it's lacking in that. But then, so then it goes into that general question of the age old question, or the age old answer that gets said after, can men and women be friends? Which is, well, no, the sex always, or wanting to have sex with them always gets in the way.
Oh yeah. Well, for me, that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was that way for her either.
Yeah.
Because like, we were both interested in other people.
Yeah.
So like, we never really, as far as I can tell, express any interest in each other.
Yeah.
It was just more of that friendship bond connection that we had. Like, she would go out with other guys and I would go out with other girls. It's just mainly like, we would always hang out when we weren't doing other things.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that, because in all my male friendships, it was never, well, except for one, and I married him, but you know, because Brian and I were best friends before we actually started dating. But it was best friends with like the little bit extra. Then we definitely knew that we liked each other.
Gotcha.
But we were just best friends.
Yeah.
But any other male relationship or male friendship that I've had or have, it's like wanting to like go out with your brother, which is gross. Why would you want to do that?
I know.
Like, it's not even like a thought of, oh, that person. Like, I can say to somebody, oh, you look cute. Like, I can say to my male friends, oh my God, you look so cute in that picture. Or, my God, those, you know.
Yeah.
You look so handsome or whatever. But it's not, oh, you look so hot because I want to like.
But I think also what we have to address is that there's that period in time of when you're not friends with someone.
Yeah.
Or when you first see someone.
Yeah.
You're either, your first thought is like either, oh, they're attractive, or oh, they're good looking, or oh, I like this.
Oh yeah, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
100%.
You're some reason drawn to other individuals.
Yes.
And I don't know at what point in your mind does it switch from like, oh, I like them,
yeah,
or like I can see something, or yeah, or when it actually changes to like, oh,
we're just
cool.
I think part of that is, are you already in a relationship where you're fulfilled and you're committed and you're like whatever, where feeling that way about somebody else is not even a question? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But what if you're not? Because even if
you're not. I guess if you're not, then if you're not, then you can't be friends with the opposite sex, because it's always going to turn into something else.
Well, no, not necessarily. Because that's how my friend and I was.
But did you see each other like, oh, she's cute, I want to hang out with her?
No, she's very attractive. Uh-huh. But it wasn't that I hung out with her because I wanted to hook up with her. She was just super cool and super funny.
Yeah.
And we would have fun together.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not sure what other people thought either, because, like, you know, when we would always hang out, I would get, like, little comments of, like, oh, your girl cat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, no, like, she's legit my friend.
I don't know where people find that so hard to believe. It's always the, you're just friends. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, no, really?
We are.
It's like,
it's not that serious.
It's not that serious. I think that men and women can be friends. Obviously, since I have a lot of male friendships. But I do agree. I don't know. I think for me, it's not the attractive part of it. I think for me, it's something else that attracts me to any person, really, whether it's male or female. I think it, for me, it's more the, do I have something in common with this person? Do I feel some sort of connection with this person? Do I feel like I could be connected to this person in some way? And I don't think that it is for me is the person attractive or not attractive or whatever, because I don't look at them that way.
But I do have to say I have been friend zoned.
Oh. Where you have liked the person.
Where I have liked the person. Yeah, where I have liked the person.
And they're like, no, I just want to be friends.
And yeah. And I was like, oh, okay.
And then did you stay friends? Or
yeah, we had stayed friends.
Uh-huh.
And, but then over time, it dissolves. Over time. And it's so interesting, too, now that, like, you start thinking about these things of, like, oh, what happened to all these people?
So I think in that specific, your mind was always set on, oh, I kind of like this person. Yeah, we're friends now, but I am hoping to turn it into something else.
Yeah, but I wasn't actively, after I think it was apparent that I was friend-zoned.
Yeah.
That I think, like, my effort was then...
So see, that proves my point.
Subsided.
You were always, even in the back of your head, you were always like, oh, maybe this person.
But I just knew in the back of my head, nothing would ever happen.
Nothing would ever happen. So what is your stance on it? Yes or no?
Yes. Men and women can be friends.
I think we're also...
Women and women can be friends. Men and men can be friends.
Yeah.
We're all friends.
We're all friends. But I think we're the wrong people to also be having this conversation, because obviously I'm a woman, you're a man.
We're always the wrong people to have this conversation with. That's why we're misinformed, well-intended. We intend nothing but the best.
And we're friends.
Yes.
But also, I think and you are right. We have a lot of conversations where, because we think alike, we're the wrong people to have those conversations, especially this one, because we think so much alike on it, where to us, it's black. I think this is one of those things where to us, it's very black and white.
Yeah.
It's very much, no, I am very fulfilled and happily married. So anything outside of that is 100% strictly purely friendship.
Yeah.
And we are the anomaly in thinking that way, because a lot of people don't think that. And I think the reason for that is because we are in such stable, loving, trusting relationships that some people aren't. And that's where the issues come in, where if you're friends with somebody and they're the opposite sex and their partner is not secure and is not stable or is not trusting or is
they're not confident.
They're not confident.
They're jealous.
That's where the jealousy, and that's where the issues come in, where it's like, that's when it starts to be like, well, I don't want you to be friends with her. I don't, you know, I need you to delete her from your life and phone, like, you know, all those things. Yeah. Whereas I just don't think that way. Like, if you don't trust your person, then you don't trust your person. It's not that the other person is not trustworthy or not worthy of trust.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I don't think I will ever have. I don't know. It's also hard for me to make friends to begin with. So I feel like when I do make those connections, it's hard for me to not pursue them and not go for them, especially if it's somebody that I have fun with, or we can talk, or we can laugh, or, you know, whatever the case might be.
Well, and I think over the years now, it's just more difficult to become friends with anyone, period. Because it's like, when you get to a certain age, you're not really opening yourself up for new friends,
I guess. Plus, life gets in the way. You know, if you're married, if you have kids, if you you have all these responsibilities, it's like, where in that scope of things do I fit the friends in? But to me, especially with my friendships, they're so important to me because it's important for you to have some, obviously, like, Brian is my everything and I go to him for everything, and he is my best friend and the person that I can talk to about anything, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But there is something to be said for having those connections with other people.
Yeah, that social bond.
That are different to what you prize and what you love so dearly, because it also makes you an interesting person too. Like you and I have had many conversations that I've then come to Brian and said, oh, Roberta and I were talking about this and that and the other. And then it opens up a conversation between me and Brian.
Yeah, yeah.
It's important to, whether it's a male or female friendship, it's important to have those friendships outside of your main bubble, I guess.
Yeah.
How was your week this week?
My week this week was pretty good. I actually shoveled a lot of snow.
Yes, we did get a lot of snow in the northeast
region. And that was fun. I enjoyed, I actually found it a little therapeutic to shovel snow. I would bundle up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did receive some wireless earbuds.
Oh, nice.
Not anything too outrageous, but
Did you receive these for your birthday? That just went by?
No, I think it was Christmas that I received them. But I popped them in and I had my hat on. I put on my mask, cuz the mask was pretty helpful in the snow.
It is helpful in the cold, yes.
It was like a scarf.
Yeah.
So I had the headphones in and I was listening to salsa music.
Mm.
And it was getting you going, get you moving.
Is it making you shovel the snow faster?
I think so. Because I was done relatively quickly.
Oh.
And I think a couple of my neighbors were using like snow blowers.
Yeah.
And I was done pretty much before they got started.
Oh. See, I picture myself kind of like my cleaning, putting on music situation. Where I would be listening to it and not getting much shoveled because I'd be dancing.
I can't dance because then I probably would fall, slip and break my neck or something like that. But yeah, it was fun because I feel like every few days it was like 4 inches of snow, 6 inches of snow.
And we still have snow out there.
And it's frozen solid now.
Yeah. We went out the first big one that we had and we built a snowman. And by we took Griffin out to, I said to him, oh, yeah, let's go build a snowman. And we go out when it's still, the snow is still coming down. Because most people go out after it stops. So everybody starts shoveling and the kids start playing in the snow. But then, by then, you have a combination of people shoveling and people playing in the snow. Not a good combination. The best way to do it is, if you want to play in the snow, you go out while it's still snowing.
Yeah.
Because A, you get that fresh, fresh snow. That you can literally like roll yourself around in it. Nobody's pissed on it or walked on it or mixed it in with other unknown piles of snow. So we go out and I'm like, oh, let's build a snowman. He was like, oh, yeah, great. Like about 2 seconds into it, he's like, nah, I'm not about this. So Brian and I ended up building the snowman.
I didn't get to build a snowman or anything along those lines. So I did have to go to work.
Yeah.
But also when I was home, one of the days where I was able to do it, I wasn't able to go out because of McKenna. She's only 4 months old, so didn't want to keep her out there in the cold in her little car seat or stroller or something bundled up while we played. I don't think that would have been nice.
Yeah. No, we definitely played. I made snow angels. It was the best. And then we don't really have to shovel because our landlord takes care of the shoveling. Except for we have to shovel out the cars, but that's a Brian situation.
Well, we definitely have. I have to shovel because there's no, as a homeowner.
There's no one.
There's no one. You're responsible to do it yourself.
You would think if I had a gardening landscaping business, I would fold snow removal into it.
They do.
Oh, they do. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think their business would essentially die in the winter. So they do snow removal. So it's landscaping where they scape the land.
But do they come right after it snows to remove it? Or no, it's when they would be scheduled to come.
I think it's when they would be scheduled to come. Like you would sign up. I think you have to sign up for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how it works because I've never wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, like if you pay them for the season and if it doesn't snow, do they keep the money?
I'm not familiar. Pay your landscaper for the season?
Yeah. Pay them. For my landscaper, we just pay them to cut the grass and do the cleanups.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. It's not a, they get paid per job. Mm-hmm, it's not a membership.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the snow removal is like a membership kind of thing because it could happen anytime.
Or it could not happen.
Or it could not happen. Exactly.
Right. That makes sense. My week this week, it was Ash Wednesday on Wednesday. Which means that that Tuesday was Pancake Day.
Pancake Day?
Yes. Now you're asking me, what is Pancake Day?
I didn't, but but okay. You got me. What is Pancake Day?
Pancake Day is another British UK tradition that my family, and by my family, I mean my sister and I, have adopted.
You live
in the United States of America. I know.
You're raising your children in the United States.
I am raising my children with all kinds of different traditions that when it's time for them to do it in their own homes, they're going to be like, oh, I don't know why we celebrate that. We just do.
They have nothing to fall back on. They're going to choose whatever they enjoy. Their diversity is going to be so
broad. Well, no, they choose what they enjoy, but they know that certain days are, oh, this is this day, this is that day. It was also Lunar New Year last Friday, and my middle one says to me, oh, happy, and this is a conversation you and I had.
Yes.
He says to me, happy Chinese New Year. And Brian is half Korean, half Chinese. And I looked at him and I said, you know, it's not Chinese, just Chinese Lunar New Year. It's Lunar New Year, like all Asians or most Asian cultures celebrate the New Year. And he is very, talk about black and white. My middle child is very black and white. And he, of course, looks it up and he's like, oh, no, see, it was invented in China and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yes, but all Asian cultures celebrate it, which was my point to you was.
Yeah, because off podcast, I think I had said, I made a comment of saying the same thing. I said, oh, it's Chinese New Year.
Yeah.
Or we were talking about Lunar.
Lunar New Year versus. Someone had
made a comment. I think they made a post on Instagram, oh, happy Lunar New Year. And I was like, oh, isn't it Chinese New Year?
Yeah.
And then it made me think, like, when I said it, I said, wait a minute, what about all the other Asian cultures? Yes. Do they sell? And then that's why you said it's referred to as Luna.
But going back to Pancake Day and the things that we celebrate in my household. So you eat pancakes on what Americans would say is Fat Tuesday. The same premise. So Fat Tuesday is the day before Ash Wednesday.
Okay.
And you call it Fat Tuesday because during Lent for the 40 days, you're supposed to fast. And so Fat Tuesday comes when you're trying to eat all of the fattening things in your household and get rid of that stuff. So Pancake Day is similar to that, where people would want to use up their butter and their eggs and their flour. And so they made pancakes. And so every year, the day before Ash Wednesday, we have Pancake Day. Very exciting. They were delicious.
Do you use maple syrup?
Yes.
Like pure real maple syrup?
Or whatever Trader Joe's has.
Oh.
I think we get their Vermont something or other.
Yeah, so it's the real deal.
Yes, it's the real deal. And I love a pancake.
$14 a bottle.
Yes, it's the expensive one, yeah. And I love a pancake with, recently, I used to just eat them plain. And recently I've been doing Nutella, which is a hazelnut spread. But then I'll also do walnuts, which I love nuts, and whipped cream. And then on top of that, you put the syrup.
So you're not putting the nuts in the pancake?
No, I like them on top.
You're just resting your nuts on top?
I like resting my nuts on top. Okay. Yeah. And sometimes they drizzle down the pancake, which is fine. Sometimes they get a little nutty and they go all over the plate. I used to love a good blueberry pancake. And those, I put the blueberry inside the batter because then when you cook it.
Yeah, yeah. That's
what I thought. It melts the.
It bursts.
But
the
nuts
blueberry.
don't melt. They just get roasted. And I don't like roasted nuts. I like my nuts in their natural state.
Okay.
How do you eat your pancakes? Do you eat pancakes?
I don't really eat pancakes. I would eat pancakes, but that's not one of the first things I would order.
What is your go-to breakfast food?
Just eggs. So uh-huh. I would just get eggs, hash browns, or home fries with like white toast, mm-hmm. bacon. That's pretty much it. But if I was to order some form of, what do you even call a pancake? It's like a pastry-esque kind of breakfast. I would go with a Belgian waffle.
Oh.
Because I do enjoy the Belgian waffle.
Mm-hmm. What is your stance on French toast? Challah bread or regular bread?
I don't have a stand on French toast.
Oh, really?
But.
Challah bread always.
I wouldn't. That's something I don't normally order either. Oh. I would eat it if it was given to me. If
is breakfast your favorite meal? Would you say it's your favorite meal or is dinner your favorite meal?
I don't know. I feel like lunch is my favorite meal.
Oh, really? Neither.
Because lunch, I feel like you could eat a big lunch and you still can burn it off throughout the day.
I guess so.
And you're not like super tired. Because if you eat a big dinner.
Yeah.
And you eat it late.
You're not going to want as much breakfast.
You're not going to want. Yeah. And you might wake up with a sluggish feeling.
I mean, it also depends what time you eat your.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dinner. I am a breakfast person. I love a good breakfast. Breakfast, I think, is my favorite. Speaking of breakfast, the other day, the also mentioned middle child, who is 13 and in that phase where only has to speak to a parental figure when it's absolutely necessary.
Oh,
it's a fun age. You will enjoy it. Especially more so with girls who can bring the drama to it. Boys are like, no, fuck off, mom, and go in their room and close the door and play their video games. Girls are a little bit more dramatic about it. He comes to me and he says, Mom, can you make me breakfast? And I was like, wait a minute. Is he talking to me? He's talking to me. And he asked me for breakfast. And I said to him, okay. He's like, can you make me scrambled eggs? And I, having the zero chill that I have, then proceed to make him scrambled eggs. I made him hash browns. I roasted him some tomatoes. I did the ham. I did the toast. I did a whole thing. Put it on a plate. I handed it to him. And he's like, thanks for breakfast, Mom. And then he proceeds to eat it.
Aww.
I felt, you know, I felt appreciated.
It was mom, nice. The mom vibes were flowing through you.
It was. Hard. You know why? Because I've always prided myself in the fact that I raised very independent children. My children literally don't need me for anything. Even Griffin, who is 7.
Do they have jobs?
They don't have jobs. Well, obviously they need me for that stuff. But to take care of themselves, they don't need me. Griffin has been making his own lunch for the past year now, and he's only 7. Like, he'll say to me, oh, Mom, what's for lunch? And I'm like, a sandwich. He was like, okay. And then next day I hear him in the kitchen rustling and getting all his things ready to make his own sandwich. He doesn't need me. And I've had those moments where other parents have been like, oh my God, he clears his own dish and he, you know, he ties his own shoes and he can take care of himself. And I have that split second of, what do you mean your kid doesn't? And then the other thought is, oh, well, my kids are independent. But then there is also that moment of maybe they're too independent and they really don't need me.
So you have your self-doubt.
So when they ask me for things like that, I immediately go overboard and go into overdrive to overcompensate for the fact that I have made them as independent as possible. Which, you know, when you're dropping kids off at school on the first day, it almost makes you sad because they're like, okay, Mom, see you later. And they go in with no problems. And you're happy. You're like, oh my God, well, it's just a child, doesn't need me, knows I'm going to come back for him, et cetera, et cetera. And you see these parents with these poor kids that are just crying and holding on for dear life. And you think to yourself, I'm lucky that I don't have that. But at the same time, you kind of do want it a little bit. Even though they still give me kisses, hello, and goodbye before they go into school and stuff.
It's an emotional roller coaster.
It is an emotional roller coaster. So I felt really, it was nice that he asked me for breakfast. Because otherwise he would have just made it himself.
Do you have your favorite ready for this week?
I do.
What is your favorite this week?
We've talked about how I am a reader. I read books.
Oh, do you?
Specifically. One of the genres that I love to read about, which is no surprise, is YA, young adult.
Oh, because you're such a young adult.
Well, yes. And one of my very favorite series is To All the Boys I've Loved Before by Jenny Han. It's a three-part series.
Isn't that a song?
Yes, but it has nothing to do with the song. And Netflix made them into movies. And the last movie came out last week. And I have watched it now, oh, I don't know, about 10 times. Why, you ask? Peter Kavinsky. The title.
Wait, who the hell is Peter
Kavinsky? The title character. One of the title characters. So basically, if you don't know anything about this, I don't know where you've been. You don't watch Netflix at all.
No,
I don't. It's in their top 10 trending movies.
So wait, is Peter the actor or the
character? No, Peter is a character. Peter is a character. The actor is Noah Centineo, who used to be on a CW show. I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah, I don't know who he is either.
Yeah. Anyways, the premise of the movies and the books is she's a teenage girl who writes 5 love letters to her crushes, starting with like elementary school on up through high school. And
so this is going to be spoiler free, or is this
no
be...
spoiler full? Sorry.
Okay.
And well, no, this is just the plot. It's just the plot.
Okay.
And so she writes these letters, and her little sister mails the letters out. And one of those letters is to Peter Kavinsky, who she currently goes to high school with. And he just broke up with his girlfriend. And she had also written a letter to her sister's boyfriend, who she had a crush on before he became her sister's boyfriend.
So hold on. I just want to make sure I'm following everything.
Yes.
She writes these letters.
Yes.
She writes them over time or all at once?
Over time.
Oh, over
time. So basically, she'll develop a crush on a boy, write him a letter to express how she feels.
Yes.
She puts it in a box, forgets about it. The end of it.
Okay.
Never meaning to mail these letters out, obviously, because why
gotcha.
Would
now
you?
Now I'm on the same page. Right. I thought she was just like sat down one day
these
letters.
No. Okay. Separately. And so one thing leads to another, and they decide, well, why don't we pretend to be together? That way I can make my ex-girlfriend jealous. And you can prove your point that you're still not in love with your sister's boyfriend. And then they end up liking each other and staying together. And so the rest of the books are them navigating high school and navigating trying to go to college. But it's a really sweet story. So that is my favorite this week.
Oh.
And I must have watched it a million times. Also because... she is Korean American, and so it deals a lot of
who is
the main character.
Oh,
Lara Jean is Korean American.
Is the author of the book?
The author is Korean. Yes.
Okay.
So this last movie, they got to go to Korea, and so they show Korea, and they also got to go on a field trip to New York City. So it was a little love note to me of all the things that I am currently loving.
And how long ago was the book written between the time of when the books were written and the series came out?
It's been a couple of years. I'm not really sure.
And when the books came out, were you a fan of the book to begin with?
Yes, I was
okay.
a fan
so
of the book, and then
the
they made it into a series.
Gotcha.
Yeah, which I think for those of us that read, it's always very exciting. When you read a book and then years and years and years later, it gets made into a movie or it gets made into a show. And it's exciting for us that read because you get that giddy feeling of, oh my God, I
knew
that it was good, right?
Yeah, you get
but,
that like.
But no, more
I
so.
I was right.
Yeah. More so, it's that feeling of, oh my God, I wonder if what I imagined it to be in my head is what is going to be portrayed in the movie or the show.
Yeah.
Which if you read a lot of the reviews on books and that can be into shows and stuff, it's how true does it stay to the book? How true is the story to the book?
Yeah.
Not gonna lie, this last movie did not stay true to the book at all. But it was the same feelings and the same it stayed true to the feeling of the book, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like they got to the same things that they got into the book. They just got into different ways. Like they didn't do a New York City trip in the book. They went someplace else. But yeah, one of the books that actually got made into a movie way, way, way later was Twilight, which was a huge hit. And that took a couple of years before it got even made into a movie. And the only reason why it got made into a movie was because all the fans were making fan fiction out of the books.
Oh, so they knew they had something.
So they knew they had something that could make money.
Okay. I never heard of it. Just kidding.
Oh my God. Anyways, yeah, Peter Kavinsky, to all the boys. My favorite this week. What is your favorite this week?
All right. So my favorite for this week is not my local Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh boy. I feel a story coming on.
So it is not my favorite, and it's been a long time coming because they fuck up.
Oh.
Quite often. And by often, I mean every time. Every time.
Is this in your town?
Yes, in my town. In your town. In my town. So there's about, I would say, probably two local Dunkin' Donuts that I can go to. But for some reason, we always go to this one in particular.
Why do you keep going to it if they're always messing up?
That's what I said.
It's proximity, probably. Is it easier to get to it? It's in the way of things?
It probably is. It might be because it's nearer other things or on the way.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But Courtney herself, my wife, she goes, they always mess up their order.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Terrible. They have a drive-thru.
Okay.
So I think that's what also makes it worse is that when you leave and if you're not going home and you're going to an event or somewhere and they mess up your order, you're like, crap.
Are you not a checker? You don't check right before you
No, you can check, but it looks like they have it right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on the surface.
Yeah.
But then when you get underneath, when you pull it out. You're like, oh,
see, I'm a that way. Something. I'm a on the surface checker.
Yeah.
Brian is not. Brian is a thorough, will pull things out checker.
Yes. And it depends on the situation for me on what I would do.
Yeah.
So if it's like a situation where it's for the kids
or
it's very particular, like because my wife's a vegetarian or something along those lines, I would check thoroughly.
Yeah.
But if it's something where I can just see on the surface.
I just
get
the anxiety of the people behind me waiting as I'm thoroughly checking.
Yes, yes. So this Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Courtney went out this morning
and
she goes, I'm going to go get some donuts and Munchkins.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, no problem. That's fine. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
We'll sit and we'll have donuts and hang out.
For breakfast.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not really breakfast. It's more like
It's not breakfast.
It's a treat. It's more
no
of a
judgment.
Treat.
It's not breakfast.
It's a family treat. So she comes back and opens up a box of six donuts.
Yeah.
And there's a long hair laying across like four donuts. Mm. And it's not like just casually on there. It's like spread out. Oh. And she goes, I knew it. I should have not gone to this Dunkin' Donuts. I hate it. I don't know why we do it, but we still do it. So she debates with herself. What do I do? What do I do? Do I go back? Do I just throw them away? Do I call? Or what do I do? Because we pay with cash and they didn't give a receipt either.
Of course.
So she's like, I'm going to be that person that goes back. So she says, okay, I told her, I said, go back.
Yeah.
I said, just go back.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's almost one of those things like, is it worth your time to go back for donuts?
Yes,
but it's almost a principle.
Yes, especially in this case where this isn't the first mess up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she then, she goes to the Dunkin' Donuts. She says to me, so I walk in with my box of donuts.
With the hair.
With the hair in it. And there's another customer online, and he looks at me. He goes, they messed up your order, didn't they? He goes, they always mess up my order. He tells her, I have to come back here. Like, I had to come back here four or five times.
Oh, my God.
Because they messed up my order. He goes, this place is ridiculous.
Yet you guys are still going to it.
So, so she gets to the counter. And she says, oh, I'm sorry. Is there a manager here?
Okay.
And she goes, of course. I feel like I'm that person. Like,
yes.
Oh, I need to speak with the manager.
But I think having worked retail, you always feel like that person.
Yeah. But the guy goes, no.
No, there's not a manager.
No manager.
Oh.
And he goes, what's up? Like, what's the problem? She goes, and she says, oh, there's a hair spread out all over the donuts. And he goes, okay, what do you want? Do you want new ones? And she goes, I guess. And he's like, okay. So he proceeds to give her new donuts.
Uh-huh.
And she tells me when he gives me the donuts, he goes, oh, you know, a lot of people here, everyone here has long hair.
Uh-huh.
That's why there's a hair in it. And she's like, okay.
Is that your apology?
I guess that's all right. So she takes the donuts and she walks away, right?
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like, okay, cool. We have the donuts. Now we can sit down. We sit down.
Yes.
And Alana is like, mommy, I want the pink one.
Uh-huh.
And it's an actual donut. It wasn't a munchkin.
Okay.
So I go, oh, just break it off, right? And then Courtney opens it up. And then I hear her yell, are you fucking kidding me? I said, what's the matter? She goes, look at this. Look at this. There's a hair inside the donut.
No, I don't believe it. No.
There was a hair inside the donut. And this one was a small, like, eyelash hair.
Oh, my God.
Or, like, a short hair. And she goes, if I didn't rip the open up the donut.
Somebody would have eaten it.
You would have eaten it.
No.
So I was blown away because it's so funny.
I go, oh my God.
What are the odds of this happening to us?
Wait, do they really still bake the donuts in the store?
I'm not sure. I thought they did. I do not think that they do. I think that there's a truck that goes around
they
and probably sent, drops
right?
them off. But that was very weird. And Courtney herself goes, you know, I can understand there being a hair.
Yes. On top.
On top, and or a hair being in it, you know, and there not being a problem. But she says every single time we go to this Dunkin' Donuts, there's one form of another of an issue.
So are you done with them?
And we're done. We're done.
You have separated.
Yes. I think she plans on calling the main office today to voice her
concerns.
That
is terrible.
So that's why my local Dunkin' Donuts
is not
my
Your
favorite.
Thank you for listening to Missing Formal Intended, episode 15.
Fantastic.
1-5.
It's over. It's done.
It's done.
Move on.
Leave us a comment and tell us if you agree or disagree that men and women can't be friends. Or can't be friends, whichever your stance is. Also, if you like to go to Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks. I want to know that. There's always two different kinds of people. The Starbucks people, Dunkin' Donuts people.
Oh, yeah. That too.
And how are you going to give us these comments? Well, if you would like to submit a comment or a question for us to answer, please email us at misinformalintended@gmail.com. And of course, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at misinformalintendedpodcast and on Twitter at mywaypodcast. As usual, please like, subscribe, comment.
Leave a review. Apple Podcast.
Oh, we did not mention 500 downloads. Congrats to us.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're over 500 downloads.
Over 500 downloads now. So it might not seem like a big number, but it is. And we're grateful. So thank you very much. If you are listening, if you're downloading, if you're telling other people,
help spread the word and help us grow. Thank you.
Are you going to say bye?
Bye.
See you next time.